Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live with Barrett. I am your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell, and this is an opportunity to speak with and learn about entrepreneurs who are doing some wonderful work in the world. Today we have a special guest, Inez Rowe, Inez K. Rowe, I should say. She is an entrepreneur who was a psychologist, is a psychologist, and has transitioning over into coaching. She is working with some specific things within coaching, creating learning courses, online learning courses and workshops, so she can live her passion to change the world. She's helping people to deal with depression, to conquer insomnia, and to achieve overall wellness. So, Inez, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
I'm very glad to speak with you. And where are we speaking with you from?
I am in Pennsylvania on the East Coast, where it's a beautiful day today.
Okay. Oh, I love beautiful days. I am so happy about spring. I can't tell you. I'm so happy to see flowers. Have you gotten to see any cherry blossoms where you are?
Where I'm at, there aren't any cherry blossoms. They're more in the Washington, D.C. area. But we do see the tulips and the hyacinths and the lilacs are starting to come out. So it's beautiful, beautiful out here. I love the spring flowers.
Yeah, I miss it. My some of my family is from Pennsylvania. And so I remember going up to places like Williamsport and
yes.
Reading.
Yes, that's not that far from here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very just green, very thick and very green. And then my grandparents lived right in Philadelphia. So
okay.
That was always a big trip to go into the city. And to see my grandfather in particular. That was always a big thing. I'm not that old, but even then when I went to do what I'm about to describe with my grandfather, I think it was actually quite old then, so I don't even know if it's there anymore. But I was little, and my grandfather would go, and I would be there with my grandfather, and he would take me to the bank where he worked, and I was so overwhelmed by all the marble and everyone with their suits and ties, and it was really something. And then we would go and have something to eat at Horn and Hard Art. It was a place where I could go in and put some money in a slot and get a pie, piece of pie, and another one and get a sandwich. And, oh, I thought that was just the bee's knees.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, so I have good memories of Pennsylvania. Well, so from there, you are actually reaching out to the world because you've shifting into the field of coaching, and you're doing this through some online courses and through blogging, I guess it is. Are you also blogging?
Yes, I am blogging. I have a blog called Midlife Mosaic, And right now, kind of as we're speaking, I even started a whole series around wellness and the 12 different dimensions of wellness. So I'm devoting, you know, one blog each week to one of the dimensions. And the idea is that everything is interconnected, that there are so many different parts of wellness that it isn't just exercising and eating well, that there are so many different parts of that, that we need to look internally and look at, you know, more of the maybe spiritual, psychological components, that wellness is actually a whole package. So that's where I'm putting my energy right now on in my blog.
Okay, is on to that. Well, let me hone in on what you said about a midlife mosaic, because that's one of the areas that I actually work with, and I've been really excited to work with that. So I'd love to hear, as a colleague, what is your message to people? What are you trying to get out there? How are you working with people? I assume you're also doing this one-to-one and online?
I'm doing it one-on-one. I'm doing it through my blogging. And then I also wanted to reach a bigger audience rather than I can do on one-on-one, which is why I've decided to do some e-courses. And it's a way of kind of reaching out to everyone, really worldwide. The midlife is kind of one of the focuses that I'm taking, because I do think that there are some transitions that happen, particularly for women. You know, it's kind of at that time when you're maybe getting close to, you know, retirement. Maybe some of the children have left the home, and a lot of the focus has been on family and in support of the people around us. And I do think that at midlife, it's a good time to kind of look at, well, you know, how do I want to live? What are the things, what are the possibilities for me? Not necessarily about not still taking care of people, but also including yourself, including what's important to you in your life. So that's what's kind of one of my focuses and one of the people that I really would like to reach and connect with.
Okay, when you're saying midlife, I would be interested to hear approximately what ages are you including in midlife?
Well, no, it's interesting, because what's happening is that people are actually viewing that in some ways later and later. I think some years ago, midlife might have been, you know, I don't know, you know, thinking of around 60, 70 or so, or even young, maybe somewhat younger than that. But I think midlife is, for me, is the period probably around 40 to 60. You know, that's kind of the time when things are beginning to change. And by the time, you know, somebody reaches 60, they can have a real good direction for when they want. So putting in those seeds around the times between 40 and 60 sounds like a good time for me. What's your perception of midlife?
Well, I've actually kind of ended up breaking it down into early midlife, hitting in the late 30s. To
okay.
About the mid-40s as early midlife, and then
mm-hmm.
moving solidly into midlife after that, up until about, yes, age, I'd say age 60 or 65.
Right.
And the interesting thing I can say that I'm finding is my peers, me and my peers, we didn't begin to have children until our late 30s and early 40s, so now here we are at 50, 51, around there, and we've got 10-year-olds. We've got tweens. You know, we've got not 9 to 13-year-olds. And that's very different than, say, 20 years ago.
Right.
So typically by 50, your kids are in college. By then, 20 years ago, your kids were in college. By the time you were
yes.
50, 52,
right.
Your kids were in college. And now that's not,
that's not necessarily
the case.
True. You're right.
Yeah. Things are real. I find that they do change. In some ways, I think that they don't. I mean, I have my own, when I work with my clients, I think that adulthood does not start until you are 28 years old. Is that something about these 2 years between 28 and 30? That's when you're hitting adulthood, actual adulthood. No more, I'm going to blame my messed up life on mommy and daddy's abuse of me, or they were so mean, or I didn't have this money. Now's the fix it. You feel like you have a problem? Fix it. Fix it and move into adulthood. Take responsibility and move on up into adulthood. Commit. And
exactly.
Then you and
taking
then
responsibility.
Yeah, taking responsibility. I really feel so when I meet someone and they're 31 or 32 and they're complaining about how they don't have this and that because, oh, their parents were mean and mean to them and they were poor and they were horribly, terribly sexually abused, blah, blah, blah. I can have compassion, but my first thing is, are you getting help? Are you taking responsibility? Are you going and doing what you need to do so that you can have an adult life? Because you can't sit here at 35 and 40 and 45 and blame your parents. Unless locked in the basement all that time, you can't blame your parents.
And I think that as you say that, that's one of the reasons that I think coaching is such a good thing. Because coaching is a way of helping people to kind of take stock, to recognize what's in the past. You know, it does need to be honored and recognized. But at the same time, you also need to take responsibility. You need to kind of do the, okay, now what? What am I going to do with that? And moving forward, you know, having some direction. And once in a while, people may need someone to kind of be with them in that journey, to kind of help them to figure out what it is they want. And that's where I think coaching is such a wonderful way of doing that.
I have found, Inez, that a difference between when I was working with people, counseling purely as a counselor versus being later as a coach, that in counseling it's more listening and letting them come to conclusions and saying much of nothing, quite honestly. In coaching, I'm able to be more active and say, okay, yes, well, what are you doing about this thing? You know, and actually confront them on some issues and begin to provoke some answers to get them moving along. I find that's the difference that I find.
Yeah, it's more action oriented.
So and that makes it more results oriented.
Exactly.
Have you ever read Scott M. Peck's books?
Sure.
Particularly one I believe called The People of the Lie. In that book, he says he thinks that people do not need to be in therapy for years and years and years. That if someone is sitting in therapy 2 and 3 years and more, that they're basically sitting there lying. They haven't come to actually get help. They haven't come to actually get healed.
Yes, to move forward.
Yes. They've come just to perpetuate it and find someone to be in sympathy. And I have always kept that in my mind, that I don't want long-term clients, you know, in that sense every week. I don't care. Maybe you come back to me, you know, every other month or something to check in on progress and we're working on this, okay, and you're doing this project or you're doing that, or I hear from you once a year or something like whatever, you know, that kind of a thing. That's the kind of client that I particularly seek. As a coach, what is your perspective on that?
Well, like I said, my role as a coach is to be a supporter, to help people kind of think through what it is they want, to determine what their direction is. You know, it's not about what I think they should do, it's how they want to move forward. And then it's somewhat about how holding them accountable. If they say they want to do this, then okay, how are you going to go about doing that and what are the steps? And, you know, I will help them brainstorm it and then figuring out, you know, how are they going to get there, when they get there, you know, what may get in your way, how, you know, to kind of help them problem solve. And if they say this is what they want, then move forward. Let's do that. I'll be there next to you to help you do it, but you've got to take the steps. You've got to make the decision. So it's really about holding people accountable for doing what they say they want in their lives.
I like your approach there, accountability. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability.
You know, when we say it out loud to someone, it becomes more real.
Yes. Yes. Most definitely. Most definitely. So I am really interested to hear the two areas that you're working with, and one is depression and the other one is insomnia. So I would be really interested to hear what you're doing with that, especially about helping people to heal from depression. So I want to talk about that in a moment. Let's take a little bit of a break here. We'll come back in about 90 seconds with Dr. Ines Rowe. She is working with people through individual coaching, online learning courses, and workshops to heal from depression, conquer insomnia, and achieve overall wellness. This is Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Live with Barrett. I am your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell. And today, our special guest is entrepreneur and coach Ines Rowe. Ines works with people online and in person and through workshops to help them to heal from depression, to conquer insomnia, and achieve overall wellness. I met Ines through an entrepreneurial support group, where we, a group of women who are working with online learning. And Ina's specialty that she's put up so far and knowledge that she's imparted to us so far has to do with conquering insomnia. I'm wondering, Ina, if you can begin to tell us a little bit about how you came to put this course together and what people get if they take this online course from you. I am particularly interested, I will say, because sleep is something, it's a specialty of mine. I actually have it integrated into an online learning course that I do because I believe sleep is so important. I am the woman in this world who is a proponent of the daily afternoon nap. I think a nap is so important, and I am all about getting right in there and getting that nap right so that you can use your body to the best of its ability. So tell us about this course you have on insomnia.
Well, it kind of started because in my practice, I had a lot of physicians refer people to me who had sleep problems. And these were people who didn't particularly want to take medications for sleep. So I started working with these people and kind of teaching them some of the different elements about getting good sleep. But because this was kind of on a one-on-one work, I really wasn't reaching the level of people that I would like to be able to reach, because insomnia and sleep problems are really one of the most greatest worldwide problems. And it really affects us in all elements of our lives. Because if we're not sleeping good, we can't really reach optimal wellness. You know, we're grumpy, we're not thinking well, we're not making good decisions, we just don't have quality of life. So I think sleep is one of the fundamental things that really help us, you know, to have a good life. So that's why I really created the course, because I wanted people to kind of learn the elements of sleep. So my course is kind of this mixture of talking a little bit about the science so that people can really understand what is happening when we sleep. And, you know, we often hear on different shows about what's called sleep hygiene and all the different things that you should do to get good sleep. But we all hear those. The problem is we don't always do them. So what my Udemy course is about is kind of teaching people why those things are important so that they can incorporate them into their lives. But, you know, I kind of set it up in this idea of a boot camp. Boot camp seems to be the kind of the going thing nowadays. Everybody's doing some sort of boot camp. So what I structured the course is almost like a sleep boot camp. I spent the first part of the course.
A sleep boot camp. That could be kind of rough.
A sleep boot camp. Yeah. I spent the first half explaining the rationale for all these different things, helping people understand their own sleep patterns, because I think this needs to be tailored to you. It's, you know, all these advice that's out there is very generic, but it needs to be tailored to what your particular sleep issues are. So we spent a little bit of time gathering that information. And then in the second part of the course, we actually do a 3-week boot camp in which each day you put in one of those principles that we learned in the beginning of the course on a kind of building up format. One day you do this, the next day you do that. I have some downloads. I have something called pink noise, which is one of the things that helps people's kind of brain patterns get kind of well balanced, and I have a guided imagery download. So I have a lot of resources and information in the course. I think it's exciting, and I really hope that people who have sleep problems kind of consider taking it, because I really think it tailors it to what the individual needs are.
Okay. So now, what you say? I'm looking at your course title, Insomnia Cure. Wake up refreshed and energized. So are you saying that through this course you'll learn a tool, a technique that will enable you to actually get to sleep?
Yes, lots of them. In other words, like I said, I spent the first half explaining the kind of a little bit of the science and what's going on and why these things that we hear so much about, why they need to be done. And then we analyze your individual sleep patterns, you know, understand when you're going to sleep, why you're waking up, when are you waking up, and understanding that. And then we kind of together figure out a pattern for you to have the optimal sleep. When should you go to sleep? What should you be doing before you go to sleep? What are some of the techniques that you can use? There's lots and lots of different resources in there. I'm really excited about the course.
Give us one example or two examples of why someone would have such difficulty going to sleep, and one or two examples of what can be done in order to fall asleep.
One of them, and this is probably a less popular one, is that with all our media that we use and all the inputs that we have, our e-readers, our laptops, our computers, they all have light that affects us, and we're using them at night. Because of that, it really messes up our whole biorhythms, our whole way of kind of the way we were intended to kind of begin to slow down and shut down. Our system is very, very responsive to light. So, you know, one of the techniques is actually to kind of slow down using those light emitting devices at night so that our melatonin can begin to do what it needs to do. And that's somewhat hard for people to do, but that is one of the important elements of having good sleep. But I think probably the number one thing that happens to people, why they have difficulty sleeping, is worry. People, you know, because we're so busy during our day, we're doing so many different things and so much going on that we really don't have time to think about things and problem solve things and worry about all the different things in our lives. So what happens is because we're so busy, the only time we have to slow down and think about these things are is when we're laying down to sleep. So if you're using that time to do your thinking, to do your problem solving, to do your worrying, well, that robs you from sleep. So in some ways, shifting that time. We all have to do, you know, kind of thinking about things, problem solving, our, you know, exploring things in our world, but shifting that to a different time of day, almost scheduling, you know, what I kind of like to call worry time, scheduling yourself to have time to think about things, you know, and putting in maybe 7:30 to 8 o'clock at night is the time that you're going to use to think about your day, what went well, what didn't go well, what do you want to do tomorrow, what are you worried about, and having some strategies, maybe some, you know, something called brainstorming or mind mapping, having some things to kind of think through things before you go to sleep. Because if you're saving it for when
I
the
know
lights are
that
out.
technique of the worry time.
Exactly.
I definitely
Yes.
know the technique of the worry time.
And
I find
actually
it good
there
to take some time. For me, I take time. I say, okay, I set my alarm. I'm from, you know, and I have 15 minutes now that I'm going to sit and obsess and worry and think the absolute worst about this particular problem. And I'm just going to let my mind go all over and over and over. And I tell myself, no, I'm not going to think about that now. I'm going to think about that at 7:15. And then take those
Exactly.
15 minutes. And then I ask myself at the end of it, okay, I did all that worrying and obsessing. What has actually changed?
Changed. Yes. You know, I present kind of this wheel of around, you know, what do you control? What do you can you influence, and what's out of your control? And most of us spend too much time worrying about stuff that we cannot control. And that's really wasted energy. You know, worry about the stuff that you really can control and then make changes about it. But, you know, we can't control the weather, so why are we worried about it? We can't control external things. But, you know, if you are going to worry about it, schedule it so that you're doing it not when you're laying in bed with the lights out, supposed to be going to sleep.
Right.
So
Okay,
those
so
are
how
just some
about
of the ideas.
what can people do to fall, you know? So they're getting this, so that would be then if they're setting aside their worrying time and doing those things. Let's just say they get to let's say they get to sleep. What is it about the sleep that they need to do in order to wake up refreshed and energized?
Well, I talk about that a little bit in the science part of the course. There are different stages of sleep, and these stages last around 90 minutes. In other words, you go through, you know, stage one, stage two, stage three and four, and then sleep, you know, the REM, the dreaming. So if you're not getting down to the stages three and four, then you're not really waking up refreshed. You're really not getting what you need. Even if you're sleeping 8 hours, if you're staying kind of in stage one and w or stage two, you're not going to wake up refreshed. So you do need to put in some of the elements around being able to reach into those lower levels, and that's some of the things around wellness. You know, some people might use some substances, maybe alcohol, as a way of falling asleep. Sleep. And they do. I mean, alcohol does help you to fall asleep, but the problem with it is it does not allow you to get to stages three and four, and so you're not getting the restful sleep. And so, you know,
Okay.
eating well and doing those things that, you know, we all kind of know we should be doing to live healthy are the things that we can do to get to the lower levels, to stages three and four of sleep.
Okay, I want to give you an example of someone. This is a real life example, so I won't say who it is. It's not me.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me what, I mean, how that person would probably, would likely present to you. What and what could be going on there, so people will have an idea. Because I think this person's schedule might even be fairly typical. I don't think it's atypical. I think that a lot of people might be living their lives like this, and I've been observing and thinking, this isn't healthy. All right, this is a man who he gets up at 7 or 7:30 in the morning, and he goes off to work. He works until he's home by 4, and then he goes to sleep for 3 hours. Then he gets up and he fiddles around doing some things, and then his wife comes home from work, and then he goes, they're up for a while, and then they go back to bed, or he goes back to bed at between midnight and 1, and gets up again, oh, between 6 and 7. Generally, this is what's going on. So it's kind of like a block of sleep at night and a block of sleep in the afternoon. Is this healthy?
It sure doesn't
How?
sound healthy. It doesn't sound healthy.
What
Probably
kind of
what.
sleep patterns could this? What kind of sleep patterns is this person likely getting with 3 hours here, 5 hours there?
It
Because
sure sounds
often
very
I know this person.
very fractured, and probably one of the things that I would encourage him to do is to have a set schedule. It is really critical for our body to be able to predict what's going to be happening. So, early morning light is that's the way we are kind of designed. We need to get early morning light. So I would encourage him to get up, kind of go outside or have some interaction with the sun, become, kind of connected with that, and then go and through his day, do what he needs to do, come home. If he has, eating well, again, caffeine is one of those things I talk about and how that interacts. Getting
Boy,
some
I could tell you a
exercise.
story. I could tell you a story because this particular person, I will say it happens to be relatives of mine, the married
Okay.
couple, and I've watched them, and I seem like a lazy bum or something. I think I don't know in comparison. It's really because I or and sometimes I think I've compared them ourselves to, well, sometimes they think, oh, I'm sleeping strangely because of the hours I sleep, and at other times that I'm more like a Felix, and they're like Oscar from The Odd Couple. Because they're never getting more than about, I mean, it's between 3 and 5 hours of sleep, and the days just constantly go. And what I would love for you to speak to is something that I saw something recently, and I'm still pondering it, about how they're now connecting dementia and other types of dementia, Alzheimer's and things like that, to lack of sleep,
Of
because
sleep,
there are
yes.
things our brains need to wash out of our brains when we
Exactly.
sleep. So how would you say this kind of sleeping, this 3 hours here and then, 16 hours awake and 5 hours sleep, how does that affect the brain?
It definitely does, because what's likely happening is that they're not really reaching the levels of sleep, the stages 3 and 4 that's happening, and that's where our brain regenerates, where all the little dendrites and little are really making those connections, and we are reprogramming through neuroplasticity our brain. And if we're not reaching that, then those connections aren't happening, and so it really it our body isn't regenerating. Regenerating, our brain isn't regenerating, and we ultimately, long term, we pay the price for that. I think there's a lot of research now being done around sleep deprivation and memory and how that is affecting us because we don't get the opportunity to consolidate those memories. So, you know, sleep is one of the fundamental things of wellness. And, you know, the individual that you are describing, in some ways, is really going contrary to the way we are designed to lead our lives. I mean, we are designed to be awake during the day and then asleep when it's dark, kind of consistently. You know, and that brings up the issue around people who do shift work and how they have a very difficult time really establishing those patterns. And like I said, there are some very significant health fallouts for not having good sleep.
Yes, I'm really pondering the information that is coming out now about needing to wash the chemicals out of our brains.
Absolutely.
By getting enough sleep. So let me ask you, how do you think that I would present to you? Because I'll tell you generally my schedule is I like to get up around 7, 8 in the morning, sometimes even 6. And actually it's worse as we're getting more into the spring and we get to summer. I love to get up with the sunrise, quite honestly. I'm up and going. I want to go running and do all sorts of things, and I am most active up until about 12 o'clock, and then I do only kind of rote tasks for, the next few hours, maybe between about 11 and 1. I just do things that don't require a lot of detail. I have something to eat, and then I'm down for a nap by 2 o'clock. That's my afternoon appointment, and I try to choose between a 20-minute and a 90-minute nap. Typically, I try to take a 20-minute nap, and then go for about maybe another few hours. And I want my pajamas on by 8 o'clock. So, am I just lazy?
No, I think that sounds wonderful. you bring up a really important topic, which is the topic around napping. And I actually was going to do kind of a bonus class on my Udemy course around the issues around napping. It is something that I actually do not recommend for people who have sleep difficulties, who can't fall asleep at night, because there's something called a sleep debt. And if you're paying back your sleep debt early in the day, then by the time nighttime comes around, when people are supposed to be going to sleep, then that sleep debt is already paid, and then many people cannot fall asleep. But these are for people who have trouble sleeping. There's part of the course in which I help people figure out if they're an owl or a lark, and if they're more designed to work, if there are more late hours or early hours. But, I want to kind of talk about napping. I think there's so many countries who actually have siestas in the afternoon to kind of relax and actually take some napping.
I visited Spain, and I can tell you, yes, and places shut down. And even in Italy or France also, which is not so hot. So it's not just really hot countries.
Right.
Definitely you want to in a hot country, because who wants to be out there, out and about in the middle of the midday sun? You don't. It's absurd. So people tend to eat, and they eat a huge meal. I mean, that's when they eat what we in the U.S. are calling dinner, something.
Right.
They're eating it.
Right.
They eat a huge meal in the middle of the day, and then they take a nap. And then they reopen their shops, or they get back out to doing whatever it is they're doing, and then they're doing that from the afternoon until the early evening, and then they're home with family.
Right. Well, our system, our biological system, takes a dip around 2 o'clock, so that is also a very normal pattern for people to just kind of slow down during that time of the day. So if people don't have problems sleeping at night, napping is a wonderful thing to do, to just kind of rejuvenate and kind of pull in some extra energy. But if people are having difficulty sleeping, then napping can actually interfere with that. People will often come home, kind of pass out on the recliner, get some sleep, and then when it's time to go to sleep at night, suddenly they can't sleep. So, you know,
right.
that can really interfere with your scheduling
but maybe
also.
Because they want to get some sleep so they can stay up late and watch the Tonight Show.
That's a different story. That's where DVRs are wonderful. That's what a DVR is for.
Let's continue this conversation. After this break, we are talking with entrepreneur and coach Ines Rowe. This is Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemson Powell, and we will be back in a moment. Hello and welcome back to Live with Barrett. I am your host, Barrett Clemson Powell, and we are having a conversation with entrepreneur and coach Ines K. Rowe. She is doing some wonderful work not only in Pennsylvania but throughout the world because she is following her passion. She is working with people to heal from depression, to conquer insomnia, and deal with sleep disorders, helping people to also achieve overall wellness. So, Ines, I want to talk with you a little bit here. We talked about the content, and you have this wonderful Udemy course. Go to Udemy, UDEMY.com, and find her course. It is called Insomnia Cure. Wake up refreshed and energized. You can even just do a search on the word insomnia, and it will come up. So, Ines, tell us, you are an entrepreneur. You are someone who is not working for a company, not working a job, depending upon someone else to tell you how much you may earn, when you can earn it, when you can get paid, how much you will have to spend, and what your retirement will be. So how do you handle this every day? What steps are you taking every day to make sure that your business is up and going and thriving?
Well, you know, it's been a learning curve for me because I am, you know, getting much more acquainted with the world of social media. And that's been a real interesting thing for me, you know, doing things like this Udemy course and getting to know around Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all those different mediums. It's been a real learning curve for me. So I spent quite a bit of time thinking about that and learning about that and, you know, learning how it is that I can connect with people and let them know what I have to offer them, how I can kind of give them the things that I've learned in order help them improve their lives. So it's, like I said, it's a difficult thing to be learning at this stage in my life.
Okay, it's difficult, but for example, so you're learning social media. What about social media? Let's kind of get at that because that might seem daunting to a lot of people, especially who are coming into entrepreneurship. What about social media is the big fear, has been the big fear, and what have you been doing to overcome it?
Well, you know, as we've been talking about Udemy, that has actually been one of the places where I've done most of my learning around there. Udemy has a lot of different courses that kind of help you understand the different mediums, helps you to understand Facebook kind of from the ground up, helps you understand Pinterest and all those different things, and has taught me how to learn about when I made my course, how to do some of the different editing techniques. So learning, and in some ways having the courage to just put it out there, you know, and taking some risks and, you know, being patient. I think that's been one of the things. When I first started on this venture, I guess I was being a little bit naive in thinking that if I put it out there, you know, if you build it, they will come. And it hasn't been quite be there. Yeah, yeah. You know, it wasn't quite that easy.
It's not going to happen. People need to actually see your blog post. People need to actually know that they're there. And some of the best ways to get out, you know, I find are Twitter, Google Plus, Facebook, LinkedIn. Have you had a conversation with I call her social media maven Wendy McClellan?
Actually, I haven't. No, who I don't know
she
her.
She is okay. Then after this show, you need to get in touch with her. You can through the group that we are connected in.
Okay.
She is in that group. She is incredible. You really need to connect with her. She knows her stuff about social media training. Okay. You really need to connect with her. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what else besides social media? What else are you doing? So tell me a typical morning as an entrepreneur. What are you doing with your business? A typical
One of the
getting
other
up
things
at random, you're doing what?
Yeah, I'm also connecting, you know, kind of in the community that I work in. I do have some speaking engagements. I am going to actually be talking about sleep in kind of in a housing community where they have people come and kind of talk to them about different wellness issues. I have a speaking engagement to talk about sleep and kind of the conversation we had today. I'm also trying to partner up with maybe a chiropractor here who has a whole kind of wellness idea to the business that he has, and I've kind of offered him the opportunity for us to kind of do this together to bring in some of the psychological components of wellness that are kind of missing out of, you know, kind of the whole package that he offers. So it is around connecting with some of the local businesses. There's some different yoga studios and who have a wellness focus, and I'm kind of, you know, approaching them about maybe partnering and kind of completing the circle and bringing some of the wellness components in there. I'm a certified wellness inventory coach, and that speaks to the 12 dimensions of wellness and helps people to understand their own level of wellness. And so I kind of encourage people to kind of join that wellness inventory and learn about their own wellness. And I do that through connection in the local community. So it's really about connecting on social media, connecting with local resources, trying to kind of do the one-on-one coaching. So it's so many different aspects that are part of that.
Okay, you're talking about one area that I have found a number of people are doing in entrepreneurship, and that is public speaking. That's not something that just pops up out of the blue. So can you speak a little bit to that so that people understand some of the components you have to put together in order to be able to be the keynote speaker somewhere, giving an address, giving a presentation?
That's pretty scary.
Said, with a website, you can build a website, but you know that doesn't mean you're going to get clients. So you want to do public speaking? How would you explain that to someone?
What do you mean? How would I explain what I do, or how would I let them know that I'm doing it?
I would, not necessarily the topic, but being a public speaker.
Well, this particular speaking engagement that I have coming up really came about through connections. You know, somebody knew that I spoke
Network.
Around insomnia issues, exactly, networking. And this person knew that I was doing that. And she says, you know what, it would be really good if you would come and talk to this group and put me in contact with this person. And then we connected, and she said, well, how about we schedule this date for you to come do that? I've also worked through our local YWCA, and I'm kind of connected with them about doing some speaking and some classes through that organization. So, you know, one of the things, maybe I haven't done this yet, but it kind of on my to-do list is connecting with the Chamber of Commerce and kind of being part of that, so that I can kind of build a name for myself in the community as a speaker on wellness topics. You know, and to be honest with you, public speaking is not one of the things that I relish doing, because I kind of get this little kind of butterflies in my stomach anxiety around doing it. But once I'm there, once I'm doing it, I kind of get over that, and then I just interact with the people there, and I'm just talking to people who are interested in what I have to offer them. And so then my kind of anxiety, kind of I get over it, you know.
Inez, I have to ask you, it might seem a strange question. What is the accent or dialect that I'm hearing from you?
Well,
you
speak probably
another
hear
language
a little
other
bit
than English?
I do. I grew up in Mexico, and but my parents were German. So it's you may be hearing a mixture of Spanish and German, because I grew up speaking both those languages. And then we moved to the U.S. when I was 12. So that's kind of when I learned English. So it's kind of a conglomerate of all of those different pieces.
So let me ask you then, you have that gift of being multilingual.
Yes.
How are you using that in your business? How are you reaching out to the Spanish-speaking community? How are you reaching out to the German-speaking community? Have you any thoughts about how you can do that?
Actually, when I was working as a psychologist, I actually did have quite a few Spanish-speaking clients. So it is something that I was very comfortable in doing. Interestingly enough, I did not have any German clients that ever came across my office. But I have done quite a bit. And for a while also, I lived in El Salvador. My husband was in the military. So we had different posts in the world, and one of them was in El Salvador. So I interacted with a lot of people at that time, in you know, in my professional capacity there also. So I've had the opportunity to work.
Have you thought about doing some online courses in Spanish?
You know, I haven't really thought about that, but that's maybe something I should be thinking about doing.
That's
you know,
a wide
about doing
open
them.
Field. I don't see many courses, and I don't see many online learning courses in languages other than English. There are very few, and typically they are ones about teaching you teaching you a language. But what about
that's
the
true.
Entire audience of Spanish speaking? That's a huge demographic of Spanish speaking people who would like to do online learning in their
that's
native
true.
Language. In their first
I
language.
Probably should be thinking. I probably should be thinking along those lines.
I probably
that
just
probably
gave out an
be.
Idea that listeners are going to say, oh, wow, I'm going to jump on that. So you probably should jump on that pretty quickly.
I may do just that. Maybe have my insomnia cure, have it in Spanish also.
Yes. I mean, and how that would be easy, because all you're doing is changing the language. You've got all your content.
All the content is already there. All I got to do is do it again in Spanish. Maybe I'll do that.
Do it again in Spanish. Right. So you don't have to think it up, you know. You can just
exactly.
do it in Spanish. That would be, I think there's a whole nother, you know, I'm really good at this, giving ideas. But that's a whole nother avenue of income for you, where you can reach out and, you know, use your passion.
Right. And reach a whole group of people, you know, really all over the world, because there are Spanish speakers all over the world. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, boy, that would that's an incredible demographic. So, I mean, that's, wow. I mean, imagine in groups that you could speak to, that you could even do public speaking in Spanish.
I could.
There's a lot. There's definitely a lot there. Well, we're coming towards the end of our time, so I just wanted to ask if there's anything else, any other message that you maybe wanted to get out to people. We're talking with entrepreneur and coach Ines Rowe, who has just also told us that she is multilingual, and so you could work with her, be Spanish speaking or German speaking, in addition to English speaking. She works with helping people to heal from depression, to achieve overall wellness, specifically to do something like conquer insomnia, sleep disorder issues. It's been wonderful talking with her today. Is there anything else that you would like us to know?
Well, I just really appreciate this opportunity to kind of talk to you and to talk to your audience about this. Maybe one of my next ventures, as you suggested to me, would be to have it be in Spanish. I'm also kind of playing around with an idea of creating another Udemy course around issues around self-sabotage and how we kind of get in our own way, and kind of in a kind of coaching frame, how you can think about different ways of not letting yourself get in your way. That's kind of what's percolating up in my brain. So I would kind of, people would love to kind of have them kind of look for that course in the near future. And just the opportunity to connect with them. I would love that.
I think that would be absolutely wonderful. So Ines' company is Alta Vista Life Coaching. So you can find that online. Give us the URL to your company.
It's www.altavistalifecoaching.com. And my blog for the moment, because I'm kind of redoing my website, but for the moment, my blog is on a separate site called www.midlifemosaic.com. But I think I'm going to, in the near future, going to meld those two together. But like I said, and I try and put up a weekly blog, kind of on some of life lessons, life things. Right now I'm doing this series on the wellness inventory and the dimensions of wellness, and I would love for people to kind of check it out.
Okay. Well, we've been talking today with Ines Rowe, and I hope that you will catch up with her either in person, where she is in Pennsylvania, or you will mostly catch her course online. I think when you take this course, Insomnia Cure, Wake Up Refreshed and Energized, that you will benefit greatly from it. So, thank you for listening to these conversations. I am really enjoying meeting with, on the radio, all these women who are incredible entrepreneurs. I think there is, it's like mining for gold and coming up with a big nugget every single day. So this has been Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell, and I truly thank you for joining us today. And I thank you, Ines Rowe, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to you and your audience.
Oh, you're mighty welcome. And to everyone, I wish you a blessed day. Bye-bye.